Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with the Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details. Hey, everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Hey there, it's your old pal Josh, this week's curator of SYSK Selects. And this week I've selected how breast implants work. It's a pretty great vintage episode. It has it all: science, pop culture, history, surgery, all sorts of weird stuff. And this episode is the origin of when I realized that Chuck says the word tattoo really oddly. So enjoy it. Take care.
Tattoo.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and Jerry's over there. So you got the three muchachos together?
Muchachos.
Well, muchachos and muchacha.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is muchacha a girl? Muchacho. It makes sense to be muchacha.
Probably. That's generally how it works, right?
Yeah, but I also may have just made up a word in Spanish.
It could be a snack food.
Muchachas. The saltiest. Anyway, this is Stuff You Should Know, and we want to extend a extra hearty welcome to all the additional 12-year-old boys who are listening to this one. We want to apologize in advance for disappointing you, because you're going to be sorely disappointed.
Yeah. And I would like to insert a quick COA.
Okay.
For myself. We're going to be talking about breast implants, and I'm going to try not pepper the show with my own opinions, because we have the to each his own decree here.
For sure.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say out front, I'm not into it. I wish people would just learn to love themselves, but I get it. And if someone feels better to do something like this, then that's fine. No judgment here.
Yeah. Who are we to judge?
Yeah. It's going to be tough in the parts about like the string. What was that one called?
The string implant, it's dead and gone.
Yeah, but still, we got to cover it.
Well,
and
yeah.
You might hear some derision in my voice.
A little like, pff.
Pff. But again, if a string implant is what those women wanted to feel better, then...
Then you have to go to an underground doctor to get it now.
Well, you do now.
Yeah.
And of course, we're going to, you know, it's not just like just augmentation, like, you know, mastectomies and men can get breast implants. So we're going to cover the whole gamut.
Yeah. You're giving a lot away here.
People know.
The whole farm.
People know.
People are going to, they're not going to want to buy the cow because you just gave them all the milk.
Hey, this milk and the cow are both free anyway.
Yeah.
So let's do it. That's my little COA.
That was good, Chuck.
Thanks.
We are talking breast implants, and we are going to explain everything there is to know about breast plants. Breast implants, not breast plants. That's a subtropical species of carnivorous plant.
Yeah.
That looks like a breast.
Oh, is that where it gets its name?
Anyway, I have a little intro.
Okay.
So, have you ever heard that in France, the perfect breast fits into a champagne glass?
I have not heard that.
So Yumi told me this, and I was like, what are you talking about?
A flute?
I thought that at first, too. And she's like, no, not a flute, you dummy, a coupe.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking that's
exactly
a very odd banana shape.
It's a weird
shape.
Yes, it would be a little weird if that were the case, but a champagne coupe.
Okay.
So she looked it up and was showing it to me. And while we were looking at that, we found another axiom that was possibly even more true. That in America, somebody commented underneath this. In America, the perfect breast clogs a toilet. Doesn't fit into a champagne coupe. It clogs a toilet.
That's an axiom?
It is, according to this commenter who made it up.
I did not know that.
I think the commenter made it up as a joke.
Okay.
And it was a pretty funny joke, if you ask me. I thought I was going to get a bigger response from you, but
whatever. No, that was good.
I'll live with what I got. The point is if in America that is the standard, breasts so big that they clog toilets, that's a pretty high bar to set, especially naturally, which is probably why some women turn to breast implants.
Yeah, and speaking of America, this seems like a good place for that. They top the list in the total number of breast implant operations. But if you want to go per capita, they're number 5. And the first 4 are Brazil, Greece, Italy, and Colombia.
Huh.
Per capita.
Okay.
Which is, to me, what matters.
Per capita?
Sure.
Okay.
Obviously, we have the most because we have more people.
Right.
Than in those other countries.
I am surprised that we're number 5. I would think we'd be higher than that.
You know it's number 10 per capita, of course?
What?
Canada.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They're like comfortably in the middle.
Exactly.
Although, no, that's still pretty high toward the top. Although I guess it'd be about in the middle if you just did industrialized countries.
Yeah, true. So anyway, there's my stat.
That's a great stat. I've got another one for you, Chuck. Breast implants was the number 1 elective surgery in 2012 in the United States.
Ahead of lipo?
In 2011, it was lipo, but breast implants, breast augmentation, beat it out in 2012.
By nose?
I don't know how many, probably by a nose, because in 2011 it was 300,000 and change liposuctions, and in 2012 there were 330,681 breast augmentation surgeries in 2012.
Right.
According to the Wall Street Journal.
You know, if that was a rhinoplasty stat, that would have been a great joke. By a nose?
By a nose, that would have been.
You know?
Yeah.
I bet that's on top 5.
I would guess so, sure.
In fact, I bet that's number 3.
There's several ways to find out. Should we?
No.
Man, this thing's off to a rocky start.
I'm just guessing.
Okay,
I'm wagering.
Let's talk breast implants.
Okay.
Before we talk implants, Chuck, we should probably talk about... Well, you want to talk about the history of them?
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Yeah,
the beginning. Apparently two doctors named Frank Garrow and Thomas Cronin... came up with the idea, and Garrow specifically squeezed a plastic blood bag one day and remarked how much it felt like a breast.
Right, and that was 1960-ish? Circa, 1960.
Yeah. And so he had that apparently was the quote-unquote aha moment, like, hey, we should do this. So they tried it out on a dog named Esmeralda.
Yep.
And not obviously, you know, they were just inserting it into a body. They weren't like, hey, let's give this dog boobs.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
I've always wanted to see what boobs look like on a dog.
So they wanted to just see if it worked. And it apparently took enough to where they were like, hey, I think we can try this on a person.
Yeah, Esmeralda chewed at her stitches, so they had to remove it after a couple of weeks. But, it was definitely an improvement on what had been an innovation among Japanese prostitutes during World War II.
Yeah.
Because American GIs... Again, boobs that clog a toilet. Apparently the Japanese prostitutes said, hey, these guys like big boobs. Let's give them big boobs. Let's steal some medical grade silicone from the docks of Yokohama.
Oh, I thought it was sponges.
That was something.
Okay.
But they also
did silicone.
Yeah. They self-injected silicone directly into their breasts, which apparently worked, but it also gave them things like gangrene, thanks to silicone rot at the site of injection.
Mm.
There was a lot of hematomas.
Yeah.
Very bad news stuff.
Yeah.
But it showed this desire to increase breast size.
Right.
And these guys in the early 60s came in to deliver.
That's right. And they did it in sort of a weird way. There was this woman named Timmy Jean Lindsay in 1962, a mother of 6 in Houston, Texas. And she had a tattoo of a rose vine on her breasts that her boyfriend talked her into, broke up with the boyfriend and was like, I kind of really don't want this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Went in to get the tattoo removed and...
She had to change to wino forever.
Yeah, exactly. And,
why are you saying tattoo?
Huh? I've always said that.
It's tattoo.
to two, no?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you say it like that, again, to each his own, if you want breast implants, fine. If you want to say tattoo, fine.
Right.
But I couldn't just sit here and pretend like I didn't notice that you were saying tattoo.
I've said that plenty of times, and you've ignored me, so.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so anyway, she went in to get the tattoo removed.
No. Go back to tattoo. I feel okay. Too guilty when you say tattoo.
To get it removed. And
what'd she get removed?
The tattoo.
Okay.
And she said that they said, hey, we got this new thing called breast implants. Would you like to try it? And she said, well, my ears stick out too much. If you pin my ears back some, I'll let you use me as a guinea pig, basically.
She knows how to bargain.
Yeah, and that's what happened. That's the first breast implants were sort of a bargain like that.
She went from a B cup to a C cup.
That is correct.
And this was at a time when women wore pointy cone bras and stuff like that. There was a big emphasis on big boobs. Marilyn was big.
Yeah, they had falsies even, like the padded bras.
Yeah. So there was, I mean, this desire to increase your bust size.
Sure.
And to do it permanently. It was there, and it just kind of took off like a rocket ever since then, ever since the first procedures. The problem is there were all sorts of lawsuits associated with it too, especially because they were using medical grade silicone that's derived from silicon, mm-hmm. Which is a mineral that apparently makes up about 14% of Earth's crust, mixed with oxygen to create silicone, which was originally a trade name of this medical grade silicon gel created by GE.
Yeah.
And the early implants would rupture. And there were a lot of lawsuits against some of the manufacturers, specifically Dow, who shelled out like $3 billion in payouts in just like the course of a decade.
Yeah. And, well, I guess we may as well go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. In 1992, they finally, FDA said, actually, they put a voluntary moratorium. They were like, basically asked, can you stop making them? And doctors, can you stop using them?
Right.
Except in certain cases.
Yeah, like...
There was inconclusive studies, basically. They never found, like, hard proof that it could cause illness. Mm-hmm. But it was enough, I guess, in conclusion, to say maybe we shouldn't push on with this.
Yeah, because when the implant ruptures and it's silicone, the body absorbs the silicone.
Yeah,
and they're
it's just there.
Well, what happens to the body after it absorbs the silicone?
What happened?
Right. So since no one knew, they created that moratorium. In 2006, the FDA finally said, there's no evidence that this is bad.
Right.
So you can go back to silicone. And now silicone implants make up 72% of the implants.
Oh, you can get them without any special cases now even?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In 2006, they lifted the moratorium.
Oh, gotcha. Because for a while, it was just like if you had a mastectomy or
if you were willing
had complications.
If you were willing to be part of
a study
going on 5 to 10 years. And the reason why silicone was so popular, and the reason actually they lifted the ban ultimately, aside from the fact that they never found any real provable medical problems from it, is that it's apparently far superior to the alternative, which is saline-filled bags.
Yeah, they say apparently the silicone feels better, looks better.
It's more natural looking, apparently. It moves. Oh, my God, I can't believe I just did that. The saline is just kind of like a water-filled implant.
Yeah.
Should we tell everybody?
Josh is talking with his hands. That's all we'll say. So this is not a video podcast, so that's okay.
Yeah. All right. So,
silicone is back. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. Back in a big way. 72%, man.
Wow.
That's a significant amount of 330,681. So let's talk about, before we get into like how breast implants work and how they're inserted and all that kind of stuff, let's talk about the breast itself.
Okay.
The anatomy of the breast, as it will. Apparently, you can break a breast down into two different... And by the way, only women have breasts. Men don't have breasts.
Right.
But you can break a breast down into two separate parts. There's the structural component, and then there's the epithelial component.
That's right. And that produces the milk. The structural component is ligaments, fatty tissue. Mm-hmm. There is muscle, but not actually as a part of the breast. It's behind the breast.
Exactly, yeah. And there's a ligament that kind of works to keep the breast suspended, supported. called the Cooper's ligament.
Yeah, I looked into that guy, by the way.
What was he like?
He was just very big on describing anatomy in the, you know, mid 1800s, and he's got a lot of stuff named after him.
Oh, really?
A lot of diseases, a lot of body parts.
Cooper's ankle.
Cooper's ligament is one of them.
It's just an ankle, but he pointed it out first.
Exactly. But yeah, that is they kind of call these muscles in the ligaments sort of like a natural brassiere.
Yeah.
To help keep the breast up.
Right. And then there's the milk production and delivery system. It's the epithelial component. You've got apparently 15 to 25 lobes.
Yes.
Are what they're called. And they're arranged kind of like a flower around the center of the breast.
Yeah. So if someone says your breasts are like a flower,
they're complimenting your lobes.
Exactly. And that's anatomically correct.
Right. You can still smack them in the face, though, if you want to.
Yeah, yeah.
The lobes can further be broken down into lobules, which are kind of like clusters of grapes. And there's a lot of these per lobe.
Yeah.
Right? And then at the end of the lobules, there's dozens. Each lobule has dozens of bulbs. And that's where milk is produced.
That's right. They're connected to ducts called the lactiferous sinus. And that carries the milk to the nipple.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the nipple surrounded by the areola.
Yep.
Which is that dark tissue around the nipple at the front of the breast. And there you have it.
Yeah,
that's breast 101.
That's the breast. And then behind it, you've got the pectoral muscles, the major and the minor, pectoralis. And then the rib cage behind that. So that's the anatomy of a breast.
That's right.
Got it?
Yeah, they are, since we're talking size, obviously, with augmentation, it is not a scientific thing, but you generally go by bra size, how they're manufactured, is by diameter in inches around the rib cage under the breast, and then the old letter indicating the cup size.
Yep.
So, in other words, like AA or AA all the way up to, it says in the article, double D and beyond.
Yeah.
Like some fantastical like realm. Yeah.
All right, so now we understand the breast and bra size.
Yeah, and by the way, it's hereditary. Probably if you look at your mom and your grandmom, it's probably what you're heading towards later in life.
Right. There are things that you can do to impact your breast size positively or negatively, depending on your opinion.
Sure, weight.
Yeah, some things that you can control, like menstruation, menopause, pregnancy all affect breast size.
Yeah, and guys hear a lot about, and actually girls too, hear a lot about this if you have a girlfriend or a wife. Yeah, but just becomes a common topic of conversation when you like live with somebody for long enough.
Well, breasts.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a thing. They're there.
They are there.
That's a t-shirt. That's a movie. So Chuck, now that we have the anatomy of the breast, let's talk about breast implants themselves.
Yeah, the actual thing that is implanted.
Right.
Some people might not know this. I thought everyone knew, you know, has seen them before, but it's not.
has felt them. has slept with them on their pillow.
It's not just an injection or something. It's not a pill you take. It's an actual physical.
wait. Who thought it was a pill?
There's one dude out there that thinks it's a pill.
Oh, well, Todd, it's not a pill.
It is an actual sac. It is an elastomer shell, which is an elastic polymer shell.
Right.
And it is generally these days they are empty at first, and it's in they're not full. Although
it depends.
Well, it depends on what you're after, obviously.
Well, you have the empty kind that they usually roll up when inserting, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
Or you have the pre-filled.
Yeah.
Which are not pre-filled to their final
destination.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they're like a certain size. They can get to a certain size.
I think those have fallen out of favor somewhat, but I'm sure.
Is that right?
Well, yeah. Mostly they're not pre-filled these days.
Well, there's a lot of benefits to not having pre-filled again, which we'll get into in a little bit. But okay, the size then would not have to do with what they're already filled with, but what they're finally going to be filled with. And
right.
That's usually measured in cubic centiliters, right?
Yeah.
CCs.
And one cup size for every 175 to 200 CCs. And I guess this is where we should talk about the Rice test.
Okay. If you want to know what your breasts are going to look like, or if you were a man who always wanted to know what it would look like if you had breasts, you
Buffalo
can,
Bill style.
You can do something called the Rice test.
That's right. They apparently this is the best way to tell. You cut a 12-inch length of pantyhose, although they say you can use like baggies or whatever, but pantyhose is probably the most realistic.
Sure.
Tie a knot in one end and then use a chart, which you can find online, to basically fill with rice to estimate what you will look and feel like. For instance, about a half a cup is 125 cc's of volume, about 0.6 is 150 cc's and on up, and you can find the chart online.
Just under three cups, 700 cc's, that's a lot.
That's three cups of rice. And remember, it doubles in your stomach, so you'll feel full. So they say they recommend to like put in a sports bra, wear that, wear it around, exercise in it, run errands, do whatever you normally might do to get the look and the feel of like, hey, this is what I'm going to look and feel like. And, you know, should I continue? Should I not?
Right.
Are these too big? Are they too small?
Ask the grocery store clerk. Who's checking you out?
They're fine, ma'am.
Right. It's just rice, everybody.
Well, they also say you can use water, instant mashed potatoes, and oatmeal instead of rice.
I could see instant mashed potatoes being really good because aren't they like flaky? It's flaky potatoes.
Yeah.
I could see that. Rice is, that's hard.
Yeah, that's true. But,
they should call it the instant mashed potato test.
I think that's why they didn't. So anyway, that's apparently how you, and it's obviously you want to work with your doctor to, kind of like Singles. Remember that movie when Bridget Fonda goes in for breast implants and Bill Pullman essentially talks her out of it?
I forgot that part.
Yeah. But you're going to do that. You're going to work with your doctor on appropriate sizing.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like Weird Science, you know, where you just like click on the mouse until they're tremendous and large.
Yeah. With some 80s. Graph.
Yeah, exactly.
Behind it, yeah.
But you want it, you just want an appropriate size for your frame, basically. Cause not only just for looks, but for, you know, can you support it with your body frame?
Well, yeah.
That weight.
And not just that. I mean, not just like the extra pressure that's going to be put on your back and shoulders and all that. But I mean, like your skin itself may have trouble supporting the breast implants, which is definitely something to consider as well.
Yeah. And this article says generally they come in three sizes, but that's just not true. There's like 450 sizes.
Well, this article was written, I think, in 2003 or four. And
okay.
I mean, it's definitely breast augmentation surgery has increased by leaps and bounds since then. I've seen up to 450 different varieties, and I think that's combinations of shape, size, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of different sizes. Mainly the sizes, again, it's measured in cc's.
Mm-hmm.
The shape, there's still typically just two shapes that I ran across.
Yeah.
There's round, and then there's a teardrop, which
yeah,
is
contoured.
Also called contoured. Yeah.
Yeah, and basically one, the round, I guess it depends on who you're talking to. They can be more popular in that they're fuller and there's more cleavage and there's more lift, but they don't look as real. The teardrop shape mimic the anatomy of a natural woman's breast more. So some women might favor those if you want to look more natural.
Right. But round is the most commonly used, I believe.
Well, I don't know if it still is. I take issue with that.
Okay.
I think that's a 2003 statement.
Gotcha. Again, though, it has to do with what shape you choose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just what you want, how you want it to look, but, I mean, the surgeon needs to have some input here, too.
Yeah, and if you get a good surgeon, they're going to guide you in the right direction. You know, that's their part of the job.
Right.
It's not just to perform the surgery. It's the consultation and advice and all that good stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And since they're plastic surgeons, to look good doing it.
Yeah, and if they're not doing that, that means it's a bad plastic surgeon.
Did you see Rob Lowe in Liberace?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
There were some real decisions made for his character and his look and this.
Well, that's what that guy looked like.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, look him up. He's creepy looking.
I will. Is he still alive? Because if so, sorry for what Chuck just said.
I don't know. But
texture?
Yeah, that was plastic surgery gone bad for sure.
Yeah. Texture is another decision that you're going to have to make in addition to shape and size. And basically, there's smooth and there's textured. And each has their pros and their cons. Textured implants, We should say when you have breast surgery, something that's going to happen is scar tissue is going to develop.
Yeah, no matter what.
Anytime you introduce a foreign object into your body basically defends the rest of your body against it by forming scar tissue around it and basically compartmentalizing it. And in the case of breast augmentation surgery, this is called a capsular contracture.
Yeah, and it's going to happen. Yeah. Don't be freaked out if it happens, because it's going to happen. It's just the degree to which it happens could become problematic.
Right, and there's post-implant surgeries that can take place to remove some of the excess scar tissue if too much happens or your breasts become too hard as a result.
Yeah.
But you're right, it is going to happen. And some implants have been created to, I guess, make the most out of this. Textured implants are designed so that the scar tissue basically grips the implant and holds it in place.
Yeah, and I also got the idea, too, that less scar tissue will form because it sticks to the implant.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the body just thinks, okay, this is working.
My job's done.
Exactly.
There are some drawbacks to textured implants. Apparently, they're not quite as realistic in their movement, look, feel, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they're more likely to rupture, too.
Yes.
Which is not good.
Smooth implants, they actually will move around inside the capsular contracture, the scar tissue sac that develops, which is good for look, feel. It's much more natural.
Yeah.
The problem is that since it can move around, if you have something like if you choose a contour or teardrop shaped breast implant, if that thing flips upside down, your breast looks deformed now. And you have a problem.
Yeah, or it can cause something called rippling, which we'll get into the problems that can arise later on.
Yeah.
And there's this lady in Akron, actually, Ohio. It's probably a good time to mention this. She is trying to develop a breast implant that actually, it can accomplish a lot of things. She calls it the breast implant of the future. It can emit basically the drugs that they give people orally. She is trying to build into the implant itself to emit these drugs.
Awesome.
Naturally.
Wow.
And she thinks one day breast implants can actually detect cancer cells if her research is, if she gets to that point.
If I have the funding.
Yeah, well,
that's
exactly
what she's,
she's looking for $2 million.
I've got the breast implant of the future. I just need the funding.
But she's working hard to try and reduce things like the inflammatory response and scar tissue by building it into the breast implant itself, which is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah. And then, Chuck, we kind of already talked about it, but another choice is whether you're going to have pre-filled or unfilled, or also known as expandable.
That's right.
Implants.
Yeah, the Spectrum expandable is sort of like a test drive almost, where you have the implant put in. There is a three-part valve system in your armpit where you actually can fill and release and extract some of the saline, or I guess silicone. I don't know if they can do that for silicone.
I know
they can for silicone.
It's gel. I think you can, yes.
Well, basically, it's like a test drive. They put it in, and they can make them larger or smaller through your armpit until you're satisfied.
It's kind of like doing the rice test, but a couple steps further.
More than a couple.
Because you're out there walking around saying, what do you think?
Yeah, and you've got a port in your armpit.
Right, but then after you say, this is it, this is the right size, they remove the port. So obviously there's a bunch of choices.
Mm-hmm.
And you, the patient, the person who is getting the breast implant, have a lot of things to decide. But then once you've decided all that, it's up to the surgeon to make another series of decisions. And we'll get into the procedure right after this message break. Stuff you should know.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.
All right, so back to it, Chuck. Let's talk surgery, huh?
Yes. All right, the most important thing they say with a breast implant is not all the other decisions you've made up until this point.
It's location, location, location.
It really is. It's the skill of your surgeon with the placement of the implant.
Yeah.
Because that's where things will generally go wrong. And there are three choices, subglandular, subpectoral, and submuscular.
Yeah.
And again, like with everything else, there are advantages and disadvantages to all three.
Yeah.
Subglandular is behind the mammary gland in front of the muscle. It's the least complicated. You're going to get out of there and recover quicker. It's, if you're athletic, it's probably has some advantages, but, you have an increased chance for that capsular contracture we were talking about. You might be able to see it sometimes, which is not good.
Like and through the skin.
Yeah. And it's more vulnerable because it's just kind of right there behind the skin.
Plus also there's, very little besides the adipose, the fatty tissue holding it in place.
Yeah.
So it can produce that rippling thing, which is a sagging that produces basically, what's that called? Like, on your skin when you gain weight and then lose it?
I don't know.
Stretch marks.
Oh, yeah.
It looks kind of like that, but I think they're deeper.
Okay. Subpectoral's next.
Subpectoral, is, so you remember at the back between the adipose, and the chest wall, you've got your two pectoral muscles.
Yeah.
The one in front, the bigger of the two, the pectoralis major, goes in front of the implant, and the pectoralis minor goes behind it.
Yeah. So it's sort of sandwiched in the middle there.
Yeah. You have to cut the muscle, put the implant in between them, and then lay it back down.
Yeah. And it is, it's going to reduce the risk of that capsular contracture and rippling, which is good. But of course your recovery time is going to be a little bit longer. It's going to be a little bit more painful. Anytime they're manipulating muscle, it's going to be pretty painful.
Yeah.
And there's going to be more swelling and stuff like that.
Yeah. The implant can also kind of droop. There's still a risk that it's going to pull down because it's held in place more than it is with the subglandular.
Yeah.
But less than the submuscular. This is, if you want your implant to not sag.
Yeah.
You want to go with the submuscular, the third type.
Yeah, that is behind, fully behind the chest muscle wall. And, it has some great advantages, like it doesn't get in the way of mammograms.
Which is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big consideration for sure.
Yeah, silicone and saline implants, placed in front of or between the muscles can mess with mammograms.
Yeah, and you need to tell, by the way, I'm sure you probably know this if you have breast implants, but you should always tell, your doctor.
Right.
You know, if they don't know when you go to get a mammogram.
Yeah.
Because they have different procedures and techniques that they can, like, work around and stuff.
Yes. So, those are the three types of, three implant locations.
Yeah, and the recovery for the last one is even longer, but it has the same complications as the subpectoral.
Anytime you have to incise muscle and manually adjust it, you're going to have a recovery time involved.
That's true.
Man, that's got to hurt.
Should we talk about, we've got to talk about the polypropylene real quick, just because, even though it's not around anymore.
The string implant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was developed by a guy, a doctor, named Dr. Gerald W. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And, the quote from this article says it was designed to yield extreme, almost cartoonish breast sizes. And, it basically, the polypropylene, absorbed fluid over constantly over time.
Yeah.
And the breast never stopped growing. And, it has been banned since 2001 by the FDA. And, although they say it was very popular among adult entertainers for a while.
Yeah.
And, this is where I get a little judgy. It was really weird looking.
Oh, you saw some pictures?
Yeah. And I don't get it at all.
Is it cartoonish?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's my only judgment.
Nice.
Yeah, researching, my only judgment is I don't get that one.
Researching this article, I wanted to be like, I'm researching breast implants. I'm not a creep.
Right. People walk by your desk.
Yeah. So, Chuck, let's talk procedure.
Okay.
We're in the operating room. All the decisions have been made.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-op has been done, prep. And the surgeon's going to start by making an incision. And there's really basically four types of incisions that are favored among breast augmentation procedures.
Yeah.
You've got the periareolar, which is apparently one of the most common ones. But to me, it seems spectacularly... There's a lot of room for complications.
You think?
Yeah, what they're doing, I looked this up. The article doesn't do this justice. The incision is made at where the areola, mm-hmm. which is where the, it's the brown tissue that surrounds the nipple.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Okay, so, it's where the areola meets the regular, colored, pigmented skin of the breast.
Yeah.
But the whole areola is cut and pulled out.
Yeah.
And then the using a sterile sleeve wrapped around it, the implant is put in through that hole in the front of the breast.
Yeah.
And then unrolled and the sleeve is removed. But you're going around the milk ducts and all of the epithelial system of the breast.
Yeah.
It just seems like you're exposing some really important stuff to a lot of potential damage.
Yeah.
You know, either mechanical or through infection or whatever. I just don't see much reason aside from the fact that it's very difficult to see the scar because you're doing it where the pigmentation changes. So it's hard to see that difference in that scar.
Yeah. Well, it also allows for more precise placement of the implant.
I see that.
And, I think it's, you know, there's surgeons doing this. It's not you. So
right.
I know it freaks you out, but
right.
I think it's the most common for a reason.
Okay. So that's one.
Yeah. But that allows for, subglandular, subpectoral, and submuscular placement. So that's the other advantage is you have all your options open.
Yeah. There's also the, inframammary fold incision. This one makes sense.
Yeah. That also allows for all three, placement types. And that is just under the breast. So the scarring is, you know, not as visible, obviously.
Yeah. Usually it's where the crease is.
Yeah.
The big disadvantage to this one is if you are going up so much mm-hmm. in cup size, if you're going up a lot, the surgeon's going to have to create a new crease for your breast.
Yeah.
And when making that incision, since you want the incision underneath the breast,
you gotta stop hidden talking by with the your breast, hands.
Hidden by the breast, he has to guess where that breast is going to hang now and make the initial incision accordingly.
Yeah, that's when it's...
So there's a lot of guesswork there.
Well, not guesswork, but... Because that makes it sound like,
well, educated.
Well, I guess that looks good.
Well, no, he has to be like, where is this going
to
fall?
It's a forecasting.
Yeah. Educated guess.
Yeah. Very educated guess, though.
Then there's transaxillary incision, which is through the armpit.
Yeah, there's no breast scarring at all, obviously. It's more of a challenge because placement's pretty difficult. They use an endoscope, and that is not the most... that's not the strangest place.
No.
The strangest place is through the old belly button.
The tuba incision.
You can actually get a breast implant through your belly button.
Yeah, and apparently you can get a lot of surgeries through your belly button, I think.
Maybe that's why it's there.
Maybe. That's it's the new port.
Yeah.
Tuba stands for transumbilical breast augmentation. And that's a tuba incision, the belly button incision. And basically they cut into the navel
mm-hmm.
at the top, at the ridge, and then they burrow all the way up to each breast so it makes a V.
Yeah.
Through your subcutaneous fat.
Yeah, like Charles Bronson in The Great Escape.
Yeah. And then they use an endoscope
mm-hmm.
to basically tunnel their way through and see that they're going the right way, and they push the implant up through there and
inflate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like guesswork.
Yes, but apparently that's the one that has the least complications.
Yeah, there are a lot of limitations, though. It requires an inflatable implant. Obviously, you can't go through the belly button with one that's already inflated.
Mm-hmm.
It can only be used for subpectoral and submuscular. And if there are complications, and it seems like there are, I don't know if I should say often, but it's not rare to have complications and have to go back and have what they call a revision surgery.
Yeah.
You cannot reuse that incision.
No, they're going to have to make transaxillary, periareolar, or inframammary fold.
Yeah, if they need to go back in again. And apparently it's pretty rare, like not a lot of plastic surgeons even try this one.
No, I think it takes a lot of skill. And
yeah.
Even though the complications, the post-op complications, are minimal compared to the others because your subcutaneous fat in your abdomen apparently heals very easily.
Yeah.
Just getting there is kind of a problem. So let's say your doctor's ready. You got the first incision. What's up next?
Well, you've got your incision, and so they have to cut a path through that tissue. Mm-hmm. Depending on which one you use, they're either going to work with the muscle or they're not. And they need to separate and create a little pocket for it to sit in. You know, they don't just stuff it in there.
Right.
They need to create a space.
And they have to figure out where that pocket is best going to be depending on the size, shape, everything of the breast implant.
Yeah, again, an educated guess.
Yes.
And you've seen some surgery nightmares with breast augmentation, and that's like Dr. Quack, you know.
Yeah.
Dr. Nick. Looks good. How about there?
Yeah.
Sometimes a mastopexy, which is a breast lift, is performed at the same time, or you can just have that on its own if you just want a breast lift.
Right.
But sometimes it's used with augmentation in order to get everything in the right position, and you want, you know, the breast to be pointing in the right way, and you want the nipples and the areolas to be in the proper place and not looking off to the left and the right,
yeah,
or up or down.
Some surgeries require that you reposition the nipple depending on how big the implant's going to be.
Yeah, and man, I saw with some mastectomy surgery, sometimes they can completely remove the areola and nipple and mm-hmm. replace it.
Wow.
Onto a augmentation or
whatever. Well, yeah, and I guess with a periareolar incision,
yeah,
if you're taking that whole thing off, you know, I guess you could move it to another place
and
sew it back on. Yeah.
What they can do. Scissors can aid in positioning, and that's sort of like it's attached to a tube. It's an implant attached to a tube, and that's almost like a live rice test. Like, you don't go home with that. They just put it in there and
mid-operation.
Yeah, and see what it looks like.
It's not the final implant. It's a temporary one.
Yeah, and then they pull that out once they say, all right, that's a good placement for this, mm-hmm. so just let me do it for real.
Yeah. And then, so if you have pre-filled implants, you have to make a larger incision.
Of course.
And then you fill those up to their full volume.
And I think pre-filled textured is even the largest.
That's the biggest incision you're going to have
yeah.
to make. Because you also have to make room for this ridged implant that's already pre-filled. And either way, you're going to have to either top off or totally fill up the implant once it's in there.
Top it off.
That's pretty much what it is. So, Chuck, we're talking augmentation. It's elective surgery, plastic surgery. And a lot of people think, like, plastic surgery is called plastic surgery because of its artificiality.
Right.
But actually, it's derived from the original Greek plastikos, which means
artificiality.
It means to mold or shape. Something's plastic. It's pliable.
Yeah.
And that's what plastic surgeons do, is they mold or shape things, including breasts. It's like you said, it's not just making the cut and jamming the thing in there. They have to basically reconfigure what the anatomy of the breast to accept this new
foreign
implant.
Body. Yeah.
Yeah. And it does take a certain amount of skill. But that just struck me as interesting.
Yeah.
Why do they call it plastic surgery?
And it's not all just augmentation. It doesn't always mean you're making your breasts larger. There's also reduction mammoplasty, which is breast reduction.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you're too big and you have back problems or for any other reason, you can get breast reduction. We already talked about the mastopexy, which is the breast lift.
Right.
And that's when they actually remove skin and rejoin it to lift it up. It's pretty simple, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to perform it, I'm saying, but in what's the word? Concept. It's pretty simple.
Right.
And then breast reconstruction, a lot of times if your breasts have been removed for mastectomy or damaged and, you know, because of some accident or something, they can actually reconstruct your breasts in a realistic fashion.
Right. And we said women aren't the only humans that have breasts, but there are elective procedures for men who want to bulk up their pecs called pectoral implants.
What did you watch Entourage?
No.
Johnny Drama. I don't think he got them, but he wanted calf implants at one point.
I've heard of those, yeah. Calf implants, yeah. Pec implants.
Come on, guys. See, I can judge guys. What are you doing, dudes?
So, well, we'll say what we're doing. The arm, it's done with an armpit incision.
Yeah, it's a lot like the transaxillary breast implant thing for women.
And then they go in there and lodge it behind the pec muscles to just kind of bulk them up, to stick them out further.
Yeah.
And there you go. All of a sudden, you are Charles Atlas.
Yeah, or you can have reduction as a man, too.
If you're Bob from Fight Club.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Gynecosmastia, it's usually hereditary. It can be as a result of your diet, but basically it's when guys end up feeling like they have boobs.
Yeah.
And
feel like or do.
Yeah. And it's an embarrassing thing, I'm sure. So you can get that removed. It's basically, liposuction just under the nipple.
Right. And if it's the result of a glandular disorder, they'll probably just take the glands out while they're there. And usually it takes more than one surgery, but it can be corrected. I wonder if insurance covers that.
I don't know. Does insurance cover any kind of plastic surgery?
I don't know.
I bet you it wouldn't cover that because it's still cosmetic, you know?
I don't know. I think
you'd probably have to show that it's a medical problem.
Right. But I think if you show that you're suffering from it psychologically, it might fall under it. I don't know. We'll find out. Because I'll bet you an insurance claims adjuster writes in and tells us. That's my prediction.
And you know what? I was judgy on the pec implants for
dudes.
You
sure were.
There may be cases I don't know about where guys have sort of like malformed chest or something and they just want to look normal.
Yeah.
But I was talking about the guys who are like, I want bigger pecs. Duh.
Still judgy.
Hit the gym, man. Do some bench press, you know? You want to increase your pecs.
Sure. That's what I do.
Yeah. Push-ups.
Let's talk. Let
Yumi sit on your back and do push-ups?
One-handed.
Herschel Walker style.
Yeah.
Supposedly, he never lifted weights. Did you never know that?
No.
Yeah, he never lifted weights in his life.
What
Everything,
did he do?
He had people sit on him and do push-ups, like 2,000 push-ups a day and stuff like that.
Huh.
It was all either isometrics or like chin-ups, push-ups, pull-ups.
Rolling a tractor
keg.
Tire over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Old school.
Let's talk risks, man, because first of all, it's surgery, so there's always an attendant risk with any kind of surgery where general anesthesia is used, right?
That sounds like a disclaimer.
Well, it's true. I mean, yeah. Surgery's risky. Anesthesia's risky. There's also infection.
Sure.
Anytime you're cut open, there's a risk of infection. But then breast augmentation surgery comes with its own attendant set of risks that are, they vary from definitely going to happen, like the capsule contracture,
yeah,
the scar tissue, to extraordinarily rare, like semastia.
Yes.
Did you see this?
I did.
I had no idea that it could happen. Semastia is basically where your breasts join together as the result of an augmentation surgery and you have one mega breast.
Yeah. I have seen some. They make brassieres now, like post-surgical brassieres
that try and separate them.
Yeah, that try and prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd never heard of that either.
No, I guess after surgery, do they just kind of gravitate toward one another?
Actually, I'm not sure. It just says it's a mistake.
Yeah.
So it's not like some just bad, you know, bad fortune.
Right.
It's actual surgical mistake.
You get to own a portion of the doctor's office that did the procedure afterwards.
But the implants lift off the sternum and grow together. So I guess the scar tissue grows together in that case. That's my guess.
It's kind of like a unibrow made of breasts. But apparently it's fairly hard to correct is the big problem.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Yeah.
When you go in to try and make yourself look better and you feel bad about yourself already maybe.
Yeah.
And then you end up like with something like this.
Yeah.
But these are risks you need to know about, you know? And that is the opposite of the total recall, which is three breasts.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
I forgot about that. Man, that was a great movie.
I wonder if they put that in the remake. Because that was one of the sort of goofy signature moments of that goofy movie.
Yeah. That was, you know, it was a Philip K. Dick novel.
Yeah.
That guy wrote, like, all sci-fi, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Any sci-fi movie ever was written by Philip K. Dick.
Did you know that he believed he was possessed by an angel later on in his life?
Really?
Yeah, he believed that he was possessed by a benevolent spirit that basically took him from being like a complete schlub, drug addict loser who still wrote great novels to just becoming like a person with a fairly normal, orderly life.
Huh.
He cleaned himself up. He attributed all of it to this possession that he said this happened.
And that was the rest of his life?
Yeah.
They should make a movie about that guy.
I'm kind of surprised they haven't.
Yeah.
I'll bet someone does eventually. He's
and then I'll sue him because it was my idea.
Yeah. You can't just say that every time.
Sure I can.
It's got to be like your idea, a good idea. Non-obvious. Remember, isn't that
Sharknado
part of the
patent? Sharknado is not obvious.
I know.
Okay.
Everyone agrees you invented Sharknado.
Yeah, but that's like saying they should make a modern movie on Charles Darwin.
Right.
I made that up.
Right. You can't do that.
I get that.
I'm not going to support your lawsuit against whoever makes the Philip K. Dick movie.
Because you're not going to fund my lawsuit?
Now you're having a depressing effect on innovation.
Yeah, you're right. I apologize, everyone. All right, so bottoming out. Let's get back to the risks. Bottoming out is when the implants sit too low, the nipple rides too high, and that is a result of another mistake, basically. They cut out too large of a pocket.
Right.
So it sits down too low. It is correctable, though, again, with a revision surgery.
Yeah. There's a hematoma, which is basically blood collecting and pooling around it. It can be painful.
Sure.
Requires drainage sometimes.
Can be lumpy.
Yeah. We talked about mammography being interfered with by breast implants, which is a problem. But I guess there is technology then that you came across that
can
get around this.
Yeah, as long as they know. But it can, you know, it can hide cancerous growths and X-rays, and you know, it definitely is something to consider.
Yeah,
especially if that's something that runs in your family.
You know?
Necrosis, which anytime you hear that word necros in anywhere, you're headed for bad times. That is tissue death. That is pretty rare, but is really serious. And it usually results in removal of the implant and like, sorry. You know, you can't have breast implants. Large scars, permanent scars.
Yeah.
It's bad news.
Again, the breast implant can rupture. Apparently, most implant manufacturers offer warranties for the breast the implants themselves.
You got to fill out your little card.
Sure. Right. And you also mentioned like what magazines you like.
Yeah, exactly.
But there are a lot of things you can do to void said warranty.
Yeah.
Probably like leaning on fences is against the warranty. Just things like that. Like you have to, once you get your warranty from what this article, as this article paints it, you basically you have breast implants now and you have to be cognizant of that. Or else they are at risk of rupturing.
Yeah, they're not indestructible. Did we talk about seroma? That is just a collection of fluid, pretty minor, and they can usually just drain that.
With a needle.
Yeah. And then we covered both semastia and rippling.
Yeah.
And those are the risks.
Yep.
And you got to consider all that stuff because it happens, and it's probably your worst nightmare if some of that bad stuff happens.
Yep. So I think you kind of hit upon it pretty well earlier. You said if you're going to do this, you need to know all the risks. You should be fully informed if you're going to make a decision like this. But if you make that decision, go for it.
Yeah, and
your choice.
In Singles, Bill Pullman completely talks her out of it and basically is like, tells her how beautiful she is and how she doesn't need that kind of thing. And it's like this sweet Cameron Crowe moment.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't into each his own. He was turning down money and a potential client trying to get a date, which he did not get.
Well, I imagine Bill Pullman's pretty well off.
Yeah, he probably was.
Mm-hmm. What do you think Secret Life of Walter Mitty? Is it going to be good or no?
The trailer looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
It looks really, really cool.
But I mean, I've been fooled by trailers before, Chuck.
I know. I've been waiting for this movie for a long time. They were going to make it with Jim Carrey like 15 years ago.
Huh. I could see that. He would work.
One of my favorite stories. So I'm a little bit apprehensive, but it looks good.
Who wrote it? It's right there, man.
Jeez, I can't even think of it.
It's not, it wasn't O. Henry, was it?
No.
It was.
Why'd you bring this up? What led you to that?
You were talking about Singles.
Oh.
And I thought that Ben Stiller had directed Singles.
Yeah, those Reality Bites.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, and it's taken me like a lot to remind myself you're not talking about Swingers.
Oh, right.
So, all those movies, 1990s. What a waste. if you got anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Oh, I have one more thing. Apparently, breast implants were linked to suicide, an increased risk of suicide, after a certain amount of years of having them.
Oh, really?
But, it just popped up in 2007 and it was found in one study and everybody, it made the news cycle and then just went away.
Yeah, and I didn't get a real accurate stat, but the woman in Akron that's doing the, breast implant of the future estimated that about 50,000 out of 400,000 that are performed per year do require, like, have complications and require revision surgery.
So that's an eighth. That's probably significant, surgically speaking. I want to say also about the suicide thing, just based on my knowledge of news and journalism and stuff like that, if it just popped up once and you can't find anything else in all the reports on it or stories on anything are all within a week of one another 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and there's no follow-up whatsoever, it wasn't a thing.
Okay.
Well, that's breast implants. If you want to learn more, there's a really extensive, in-depth article on the site, including flash animations of the different types of incisions.
Yeah.
You can type breast implant into the search bar at howstuffworks.com and it will bring that up. And since I said search bar, it's time for a message break. Stuff you should
know. Hey everybody, it's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win, and that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.
And Chuck, take us out with some listener mail, huh?
All right. James Thurber, by the way. Secret Life.
Nice. Nice one.
All right. This is from Todd in OKC, and this is about vulture vomit. Hey, guys, and Jerry. I just finished listening to the podcast on vultures. It reminded me of a story. A couple of my buddies were going to college at NMSU. Go Aggies. That's New Mexico State. They were driving through the desert north of Las Cruces. I've been there myself, actually. When they came across a small wake of vultures eating some roadkill. Two of the vultures flew away as the truck approached, but the third was just a little too slow. The poor bird cannonballed into the windshield, which instantly shattered into tiny glass cubes.
Jeez.
The vulture's head punched through the windshield while the rest of them stayed outside. The vulture instantly puked all over the inside of the truck. While my buddy screamed and the truck fishtailed to a halt in the middle of the highway.
Well, that guy painted one heck of a picture just now.
I know. When they jumped out of the truck, the vulture's wings were covering most of the windshield as it struggled to get free. They ended up having to pry its head out of the windshield, the handle of a shovel. And believe it or not, it managed to fly away. Aside from a leg that was dangling and apparently injured, it appeared to be okay. I don't know about that.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Now, I wasn't there, so I can't promise that the story happened exactly as it was told to me, but I can confirm that the interior of the truck smelled like buzzard barf 2 months later.
Gross.
Keep up the great work. You're one of my favorite shows. Always happy when new episodes pop up on my phone, which is every Tuesday and Thursday.
Time. Yeah, he has it. He's not good at recognizing patterns.
He should not be surprised. Oh, there's another one.
Right.
Seems like this happens every 2 days.
I'll let my guard down and it's Thursday. Hey!
So that's Todd from OKC.
Thanks, Todd. You were not the Todd that I was talking to earlier about the pill. That was a fictional Todd. But how crazy would that be if that Todd did think that breast augmentation surgery was carried out by pills? Weird. Weird.
Indeed.
Write back and let us know, will you, Todd from OKC?
Agreed.
You know we always love to hear follow-ups about our episodes. You can tweet them to us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @ SYSK podcast. On Facebook, we're at facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. You can always send us an email to stuffpodcast@discovery.com, or like we say in the beginning of episodes now, join us at our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Hey, everybody, are you thirsty? Well, sip on pure, refreshing Richard's Rainwater. Yes, it's really rain, caught clean before it hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's Rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater or the long-lasting and cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. Sip the sky. In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.